WGN. Eric Zorn is the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel, the weekly newsletter you can subscribe to for free. Just email ericzorn@gmail.com. He'll sign you up. Pay a little bit of money and you get the premium service. Eric's part of our Mincing Rascals podcast panel. We'll drop another pod on you tomorrow. And he joins us often on this show right about now. Hey, Mr. Zorn, how are you?
Hi, John. Good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, as always, a lot to talk about today. Let's talk about your much-loved University of Michigan football team, which I told Pete is almost along the lines of what Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots were once upon a time. You've got this robust, great program that's good year after year after year, but no, you've still got to bend the rules or cheat just a little bit to give you just a little more advantage. Your witness.
Allegedly, yes. I am really sad and angry about this news coming out. ESPN's been doing the lead reporting on it. And, you know, it turns out that again, these are all allegations, but let's just sort of assume that they've got the goods, is that Michigan has been sending a low-level analyst, a guy making $55,000 a year working for the football team. They've been sending him, or he's been going to, let's just say, he's been going to visiting stadiums and scouting in person the teams that Michigan's going to be playing in the future. And this is against NCAA rules. NCAA got rid of in-person scouting back in 1994, I think it was, because they felt like it was giving too much of an advantage to schools with big athletic budgets that could afford to send scouts around the country. So they say, no, you can't do this in person. You can look at game films, but you can't send people to stadiums to watch the games in person. And one of the reasons that they don't want people there in person is because it's very common in college football for the coaches on the sidelines to signal the plays to the offense, you know, with sort of like third base coaches in baseball, right? They'll be touching their shirt and waving their feet and hands and arms around and so on to tell the quarterback what the next play is going to be. And if you watch those signals and then you see what play develops, if you watch for very long, you can figure out what the play is going to be. Anyway, this guy from Michigan has been going around. He's been buying tickets, you know, primo seats. You got to do this, you've got to have good seats. You've got to have them, you know, somewhere up about 20, 30 rows across the field from the other coach. And, you know, he's apparently been videotaping. There's some evidence that he has been holding up his smartphone and recording the coaches on the other side of the field. And anyway, you're right to say that Michigan is usually a really good team. They had a lull during the pandemic, but they're back now. They're ranked number two in the country, very close to number one. They've got a great quarterback. They've got some great recruiting classes. They are probably going to make the playoffs. Let's hope they beat Ohio State again. And yet, you're right. They're apparently have been bending the rules a little bit to get that little extra advantage. Now, they've been winning games by like 30, 40 points. They beat Michigan State 49-0 on Saturday. It's a really, really good team. And yet they seem to have wanted to get this little bit of extra advantage. This same guy had tickets to the Penn State-Ohio State game on both sidelines last week, and he didn't use them because the scheme had been reported on by Yahoo Sports. And so he didn't go to the game. He's been suspended. But, you know, nobody making $55,000 a year is going to be able to travel around the country buying up primo seats to college football games. They're very expensive.
Well, has the university issued an explanation for how this super fan of theirs was able to do it and why he was doing it?
Well, they haven't. Coach Jim Harbaugh, who, of course, you know, he's a former quarterback for the Bears, has been saying he knew nothing about it. And that just, you know, he's a good coach. Obviously he's been recruiting well and getting good players, but I don't believe it. Just like I don't believe that Pat Fitzgerald didn't know about the hazing up at Northwestern. I just, you know, that's not going on. His defensive coordinator does not know all this stuff and doesn't tell Harbaugh. And even if he didn't know,
yeah, here you go. Here you go.
The rule is, or the custom is, that the coach is responsible.
Well, sure.
It's kind of like the Cyril thing. It's like,
absolutely.
Okay, if you didn't know, you should have known. And if Harbaugh's explanation right now is basically to deny everything, but I don't think that's going to hold up. The real question is going to be what they do about, what the NCAA does about this. Do they strip Michigan of all its victories this year? That seems possible. I don't know what you can.
Is this that big a deal, Eric? I mean, so I, in an era of coaches looking the other way of hazing, and four different programs have been cited for all sorts of unfortunate infractions at Northwestern alone. Minnesota had an issue. Iowa State, one of the schools in Iowa, as a gambling thing. Anyway, to me, this just seemed like a fairly, you know, arcane infraction.
It is gambling and hazing don't necessarily or don't directly affect the outcome of games. You could argue that a team stealing signs affects the outcome of a game, and that is part of the competition. Now, you shouldn't have gambling scandals. You shouldn't have these other things. There's a good question to be had about how common this actually is. ESPN has another article up the other day about how common sign stealing is in football and how it's kind of part of the game. And you try to decode signs, and it certainly happens in baseball where you're always looking at the coaches and so on. It's kind of the game within the game. But if you get caught, then you may have to pay a steep penalty for that. And it's too bad because, I don't think Michigan needed it this year. They clearly haven't so far.
I wonder also, how are they able to relay? So suppose you figured out the sign, and now they're looking over at maybe the backup quarterback or the coach. It's usually somebody on the sidelines for the coach that's signaling the play in. So they're patting their head, and then they hit their knee in their chest two times, and then that signal goes to the quarterback, and he knows what to play. But the defense needs to know what that is, line up accordingly, and react accordingly. And I wonder how valuable that information is. Do they have a garbage can lid on the sideline? And if I bang it twice, it's a run, and if I bang it three times, it's a pass?
The Houston Astros.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I imagine that they have to insulate this kind of scheme from a lot of the players because so many of the players are transferring around. If the players knew what was going on, and say a player from Michigan goes into the transfer portal and goes to Michigan State or Ohio State, they can say, hey, they're cheating and this is how they do it. So my guess is that it's a very limited number of people who know about it. And the defensive coordinator gets the signal from the other side, like, hey, it's going to be a bubble screen. And then he signals in to his defensive captain, move the linebackers over here. I actually don't know how they do that so quickly, but I bet they, if you know what's coming in baseball and in football, you can pretty easily.
I understand that too, but I also thought you were going to say a fundamental question to this is stealing the signs also part of the game? If a pitcher has a tell on the mound and you can tell when he's going to throw a breaking ball, use that to your advantage, share it with your teammates. I'm kind of on the bubble on this. I mean, I take your point about rich schools have an advantage that poorer schools don't, if there is such a thing as a poor Division I football program. But I wonder if we should just say, okay, in this day and age of videos and phones in the stands, and nonstop coverage of every metric, steal the signs. Hell, have at it. There's a level playing field.
No, that's right. And of course, the NFL has taken care of this by having these in-helmet communications so that no one is signaling anything from the sidelines, and they just talk into their headsets. Often you see the coaches covering their mouths with a clipboard, and then they're talking to the quarterback through the helmet. And that works a lot better. And they could certainly do that in Division I football. It would be no problem, and it would get rid of this problem. You're right. It's sort of part of the game. It's been part of the game since Little League, right? If you're a Little League team and you notice that the runner is going to steal a base every time the third base coach swipes his hand across his chest, then you figure that out. That's part of the game.
Yeah.
I think what's happened here is that there's so much in baseball and in football also, when you have all this electronic help, when you have people with high cameras in center field and telephoto lenses and so on, you're going beyond kind of just routine sign stealing, and you're changing the game. So it is part of the game, and it certainly should be part of the game. If during the game your defensive coordinator notices that the opposing coach across the field is tugging his cap every time there's going to be a pass, then that's certainly
what are you supposed to not
fair,
say anything?
Fair game, right?
Can I?
Right. No, okay. Of course not.
Here I'm about to rock the Manuka Pony League world, but when I was a member of the Manuka Indians, we were a pretty good baseball team, and Bob Ballantyne was our coach, and he was a terrific coach and a good all-around guy, and he had picked up the signals for curveball, fastball, and he told us before the game, he said, if I use your last name, that'll be a curveball. If I say your first name, that'll be a fastball. Curveball, last name, first name, fastball. Okay, great. And not that I could hit a curveball anyway. It wasn't going to give anybody any advantage. But nevertheless, I'm standing in the batter's box. And he's saying, okay, let's go, Williams. Come on. Come on, John. Or, you know, he only used one. And as I'm standing there in the box, I'm like, okay, which one is the – oh, shoot, I forget which one is which. And, again, it didn't matter because we weren't going to hit the ball much anyway. At least I wasn't. And that's the end of my story.
I wonder how – yeah, how did he steal the signs? I'm assuming the catcher is flashing them between his legs. How does the manager get that?
I think from the good question. I think from the dugout, he was able to see the kid loading it up. You know, that is gripping it a certain way, and he go, here comes a curveball. The kid's spinning the ball around, getting his fingers on the seams a certain way. But to be honest with you, I'm not sure. The point of that story was it didn't matter anyway. It's sort of like the GPS on your golf cart, and it says you're 134 yards away. And I'm thinking, that doesn't matter. I'm going to hit it into the woods. So it really doesn't matter how far I am or the direction of the wind. I can't hit the ball straight anyway. I was just looking at this, Eric. We were talking about Michigan stealing signs and what the punishment or penalty will be for them, which we don't know yet, right? We don't know, I guess, pending the results of the investigation, do they conclude that they violated the rules, and then what happens? And you said it may be to vacate their wins this year. In fact, Pete pointed this out to me. Michigan's record over the last three seasons is 33-3 with two CFB playoffs and counting. They're 8-0, number two this year. They have two Big Ten titles. Michigan's record the previous six seasons, 49-22, with zero CFB playoff appearances and no Big Ten titles. To your point that whatever the infractions are, some of them on a personal level are worse than others, but at least these would affect the outcome of a game. That's kind of a telling set of statistics, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. It all depends on your recruiting class and so on. But yeah, they certainly went through some down years. I think they had a losing record during the pandemic season. So yeah, they had some down years. It's really hard to know. And obviously, those are eyebrow raising numbers that you're giving there. But it seems possible that the NCAA could strip them of all their victories from the last 3 years if they can. If they can do the kind of research, because they do have records as to when this guy, the assistant, when he went to games. They have electronic records of his ticket purchases. And if they find that he's been doing this for 3 years, they can say, well, we're going to wipe out all these. I don't know that it matters all that much say, okay, you didn't win those games back in 2001. Wisconsin and Ohio State those victories.
Yeah,
I suppose you can do that, but in the moment it could ruin this year. This is Michigan's, I think, best chance for a national title. They're probably going to lose J.J. McCarthy. He's their quarterback this year. He's now considered the favorite for the Heisman Trophy, and he's almost certainly going to go pro. He's a junior. And so they're probably not going to have as great a team next year as they are this year. This is their big chance, and they shared the national title in 1997 with Nebraska, but they have never won a national title outright. And this looks like it could be their year, and this looks like it could also be their undoing. That they could be banned from postseason play. They could have all. They could, you know. So it's really sad for me. I've been following the team since I was 5 years old. And I grew up in Ann Arbor, and it is the one team that makes me scream at the TV. And I'm just kind of heartbroken about this.
Well, maybe you'll get to scream at the TV more if he comes to the Bears. 630 said this would be enough for Harbaugh to leave Michigan and come back to Chicago. So at least you could have your cheating coach here in Chicago, Eric.
Oh, that's not my cheating, coach. That's a cruel way to put it.
Well,
but yeah, no, it's I don't
cheating
I, I'm,
coach.
You know.
Yeah,
okay.
Coach,
yeah. All right.
By the way,
right.
Speaking,
I'll own it.
Speaking of sports and the intersection of stuff, here's a headline from Rolling Stone. Astros fans
are begging Ted Cruz to stay at home for Game 7. Obviously, this story is a little dated, but Ted Cruz would post pictures of him at the games, and whenever he goes to a playoff game, the Astros lose. And they lost again last night, right? So... And he was at the game. He posted a picture. The Houston Astros were eliminated from the MLB playoffs at home on Monday night in a blowout loss to the Rangers. And unhappy fans are blaming the senator from Texas. He did not listen and posted an angry rebuttal to a Rolling Stone article on his reputation as a jinx. He said, for 7 years, Catherine and I have attended. Ted, this is silly. Do not respond. There's no such thing as a jinx. We know that, but this is what we do. Anyway, he responded. For 7 years, Catherine and I have attended nearly every Astros home playoff game. If they're going to blame me for our recent home losses, please also credit us for 2 World Series championships and 7 consecutive ALCSs. We were there cheering the Stros on. Okay, now you've engaged.
It's hilarious.
Now you've engaged.
It's hilarious. Well, and there's so many fans who have little rituals. They say, you know, like, I was sitting in my recliner.
Totally.
And that's when the Bears scored a touchdown. And then I went to get a snack, and they fumbled the ball. So I had to go and stay in my recliner for the whole game, and that's why they won.
Absolutely.
That is hilarious. That is so funny that he engaged with that guy.
Fans say the Astros lost every playoff game Cruz attended this season, and they note his spotty record with other teams as well. So now, okay, you want to play that game? In 2018, he was blamed for jinxing the Houston Rockets by attending the game in which the team was eliminated from the playoffs. And 1 year later, fans blamed him for cursing Texas Tech with a poorly timed tweet while he was in attendance at the NCAA final. So you've got some splaining to do, Mr. Cruz. Don't come here. We got enough challenges as it is in Chicago. Eric Zorn is the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel. It's a weekly newsletter with commentary and stuff. Email ericzorn@gmail.com and listen to the Mincing Rascals podcast with Eric, me, and company. That'll be dropping tomorrow. Okay, Mr. Z, we'll talk then. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, John.